You're listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks and co-host Angelia Savage. We seek to help you relate well so you can live well in all aspects of your life.
Welcome to the show that will change your life for the rest of your life. This is Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks, and I'm your co-host, Angelia Savage, and this is a show that's going to help you connect and communicate better with everyone around you, because when we learn to communicate with one another, we stand in our power, and ultimately, we become a better spouse, a better parent, a better employee or employer, and basically, we become a better human being, the one that God intended us to be all along. And this is why Relate Well was created by Dr. Rick Marks. He has a true passion to continually help others become the best version of themselves when relating to each other. And he's also known as Dr. Rick. I'm sure that's how a lot of you know him out there. Welcome to the show, Dr. Rick. How are you?
I'm doing really well. And yourself?
I am doing excellent.
It's always a pleasure to see you.
I know. Always nice to see you, too. Well, let's dive in because we have a lot of material to cover today. And I like to begin the show with listener questions. If you haven't heard the show before, I pull questions from all over the place, either from, you know, our workshops that we have, from online, anywhere, anyhow, that we have anything that I think anybody's going to learn from, I pull it and I throw it your way. Unannounced, you've never seen it, never heard this before, so it always comes organically out of your mouth, all of the answers to the questions.
Yeah, and I just go, shoot for the cuff.
Yep.
All right, here's what I would
say. Here we go. Okay, well, so the first one is from Rocky. Rocky is in Bar Harbor, Maine, and Rocky says, I'm 33, and I've been in love once before my current relationship of 2 years. How do you know if someone is your person or just your person for now?
Wow, your person. So I'm going to make an assumption about that statement. We like to use the term soulmate, right? Or soulmate for now.
Okay.
So if we're going to use
all the
term,
millennials are saying my person. I want to hear my person. So that's why she's 33.
So they're really talking about are you the one?
Yes.
Are you the one? Are you the soulmate?
Exactly.
Those kind of things. So I am not a soulmate kind of guy. All right. I don't like that term. I don't adhere to that. And here's the problem why. The idea behind the concept of soulmate is this. Of all the 6 billion people in the world, there's only one for you. And if you don't find the one, then you made a mistake. And people have used the idea of, well, I made a mistake. I married the wrong person because you're not really my person, i.e., I didn't marry my soulmate. I was mistaken. The woman I'm having an affair with is my soulmate. And I need to divorce you because that's my soulmate. No, that's all emotion. And so I would say it this way. You can be married to different people and have healthy, thriving marriages if you're mature enough and know how to love well and you do love that person. Got it? So I would say to him, all right, so how do you know if it's your person or the person now? I would say this way. Why don't you just enjoy the relationship as it is? And if in time you find yourself going, you know what? I just got to be with this person. I can see myself spending the rest of my days loving this person loving me, and I could not see myself living without them in my life, then that's when you know it's time to get married. That's when you know it's time to commit to that person.
But I feel there's a lot of friends out there in the past that I've known, this is my person. I can't live without them. I can't live without them. I mean, and then 2 weeks later, there was somebody else. I can't live without them.
And that's why I said that's all emotion. That's not logic. Remember, I go back to John Van Ness' book on how to avoid marrying a jerk, right?
Uh-huh.
It's what you need to know about a person before you ever start trusting or committing to them, all right, and start any form of physical sexual relationship. The culture today is saying go ahead and have sex and commit yourself to people you know don't know much or know you couldn't rely or trust. You see, and you never trust more than you know. So you got it takes time to get to know a person. So John, has an phrase that love thinks, but he says people fall in love and lose their mind.
That's exactly right. So what are those pillars again, though, that you do need to have in order to know that this is the person?
Okay, by pillars, I could.
Those things, because you were, it's the things that you can't, that you need to know. You need,
all right.
You know what you see in that person.
Okay, so what you need to know about a person before you start trusting?
Yes.
You got to know, you need to know their conscience. You need to know how they communicate. You need to know how their family communicated, how their family deal with anger. How do they solve conflict? How does this person solve conflict? Those kind of things. All of those are factors that let you know you can trust someone. And just because you love them just doesn't mean you shouldn't marry them, right? Or trust them.
Right.
Because you never trust more than you know.
That's what it was. So you never trust more than you know.
Yes.
Okay.
You never trust more than you know. So it takes time to get to know someone. So I just learned something new today. I didn't know people use person.
Yes.
That's new for me.
Yes.
I'm still that old school.
New
we hear
lingo.
The term soulmate, right? I would say this, you know, is Lola my soulmate? I don't like that term. I do know this. I loved her the moment I saw her from a distance. I couldn't explain why, but we built a friendship after 2.5 years. I couldn't see myself not being with her. And so if we're going to use the language of the day, is she my soulmate? Yes. Is she my person? Yes. I know this. I love her. I cherish her. I cherish our relationship. I cherish our friendship. I couldn't see myself not being with her.
And would you also have doubt if it was your person? Maybe I'm asking a question on behalf of Rocky. Would you have doubt, or would you just know?
I think if you're convinced that this is the person for you, then you'd feel secure. Because I always tell, I do a lot of premarital, and I tell someone, if you're doubting whether you should marry this person when you're walking down the aisle, don't fool yourself. After saying I do and kissing, you still have a doubt when you walk out.
Oh, wow.
The doubt doesn't go away just because you perform a ceremony. You need to know for sure. And if you're doubting, you're lying to yourself and you're lying to your partner. You need to be confident and sure that this is what you want to do.
Okay. Well, so there you go, Rocky. If this is your person, you will know and not have doubt.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, moving on to Lauren in Syracuse, New York. Lauren says, I have a coworker who is constantly gossiping, and I think she starts rumors about others, too. I try to keep her as a friend so she doesn't talk bad about me, too. Any advice on how to deal with this drama at work?
I would say if you're keeping a relationship with someone so they don't talk about you, that's not a good reason to have a relationship with someone. That's more fear. And so if this person is – let's put this in the context I like to think of it. I live by 4 words, goodwill, respect, humility, empathy, the core of Relate Well, right? This person has no goodwill. To talk about another
person.
Doesn't
sound like it.
To talk and gossip about people is ill will, and it's very disrespectful. So if this person is constantly that way and you know them to be that way, then you get to make a decision. Do you want to be in a relationship with someone who treats people with ill will and disrespect? And that's all you have to answer is that question. If that's who they are as a way of being, that's my phrase, then it begs the question, do you want to be in a relationship with someone who treats people with ill will and disrespect? If you do, then I go, don't complain about them being ill will and disrespect because you're choosing to stay in it.
But that's probably hard. I mean, I don't know. I'm picturing Lauren probably works in an office and they probably have to – I don't know. Maybe they work in the same room. Who knows? But it's difficult sometimes to get away from coworkers.
True. But I deal with you as a coworker, not as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I can be friendly, but that doesn't mean I'm going to go to lunch with you. That doesn't mean we're going to hang out after work. Doesn't mean those things. Why? Why? I don't want that in my life. I just don't want that in my life, and it's okay. I choose who I let into my life. And remember, what you associate around is going to affect you on some level. And if you don't want that in your life, then say, I don't want it in my life.
It's so true. I'm actually picturing whenever I worked years ago at one location down south, and there was a girl. I was the superior, so I had hired this girl to come in, and she was such a beautiful person when I brought her in. And then she turned into a nightmare. And she was turning her coworkers and turning against them. And she was being nasty to them. And I mean, I had to call her to the carpet and say, you can't behave this way. And I wasn't going to fire her. She was good at her job, but she was such a drama queen. And so it was really difficult to get away from her when she's working for me. But I didn't want her infecting the rest of my staff like a cancer. It's really hard.
Many years ago, Angela, I was asked to do a weekend relationship retreat for impaired professionals who are in a 2-week program. And these were people from all around the country coming to this major university. And they said, look, we want your people, we want the married people to go through your relationship program. And they sent over a very, very high profile national doctor. And this guy brought in millions and millions of dollars to this particular hospital. And they finally decided they're going to get rid of him after like 15, 20 years. Why? The cost of how he damaged employees at the hospital, the cost of that, people quitting, complaining, not wanting to be there. They finally made a decision. You may bring in this kind of money, but you're costing us far more. And they basically said, you go get help or you're done here. In other words, you, at some point, you're going to go, enough's enough. The question is, how much damage are you willing to take and accept before you say enough's enough?
Most corporations don't stand up like that, especially in this day and age, though. I mean, they just let it go, and at the cost of losing employees and losing clients sometimes even. So depending on how volatile this person is and how, you know, toxic they are, and they bring in toxicity to the rest of the work staff.
Which is why you see many businesses today talking about emotional intelligence. It's why I do my corporate work on emotional wellness and leadership. How do those two things fit together? Because healthy, mature, mature leaders are emotionally mature, right? I.e., emotional intelligence. And so you do see companies a lot now dealing with emotional intelligence, those kinds of issues in the workplace, because it does affect the workplace.
Yeah,
you
I think this is something most corporations or all even need to have someone like you at Relate Well to come in. And how would it work if you did? So say a corporation brought you in and said, you know, we need to have a drama-free environment. How would you work with the staff like that? How long would it take?
We come in, do a 1 or 2 day training on the fundamentals of emotional wellness, how humans bond and connect, how we emotionally regulate yourselves, and how you create what I call an us and a work team. All right. And I show people how the brain works, how to emotionally regulate. And so that they can begin to look at issues in people's lives as employees through the eyes of compassion and empathy, which is a trait of emotional intelligence. But so that they can begin to deal with things in the workplace with goodwill, respect, humility, and empathy. But remember, it's like I tell everybody in my seminars, people don't leave their jobs. They leave their bosses.
Oh, really?
That's what's happening today. People aren't leaving their job. They're leaving their bosses. They're sick and tired of being of the way they're being treated. And so because of that, you know, businesses are starting, wait a minute, we need to deal with the emotional health of the employees. Now, what is that linked to? It's linked to the breakdown of family. We have an immature society, and they're all going to work somewhere. Lack of emotional intelligence, and so we stand up in this space and look. You know, you can be a brilliant rocket scientist, but highly immature. But if you're in immaturity, it's about emotional development. So if you're immature, you're going to treat people in immature ways, even at work.
And do you find that the workers are heeding advice? They're taking your advice and implementing this into their programs and
some
thriving?
Companies are. I mean, you look at companies like Chick-fil-A, Hobby Lobby, big company like that. I do some work for the metal treating industry, a metal treating institute, MTI. For the last 10 years now, they do a one-year training for managers in their industry. I think I'm the third quarter training where I do a whole day's training on emotional wellness and leadership. And according to the head of MTI, his name's Tom, he says, Rick, every year that cohort says we learned a lot this year, but Dr. Marks was the best because it was practical. It was about who we are. It's not about leadership traits. It's about who we are as leaders. And so I'm in that space. I've always said this way. You can go to a great leadership training person, right? And you can go to a leadership training, and they make a lot of money in doing leadership training. But think of it this way. If you're an emotional adolescent and you go to a John Maxwell training or whoever, when you're done at the end of the day, you're still an emotional adolescent.
Yeah.
And I say it this way. All you've done is weaponize an emotional adolescent, how to use what they learned against the people they lead.
Wow. Well said. All right. Well, we've got to take a quick break right now, but we're going to come back with some really good content coming up. And you are listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick. We'll be back in a moment.
A healthy, nurtured relationship is key in making your life whole. Yet for most, that perfect relationship is elusive. In Relationships for Life, marriage and family counselor and acclaimed speaker, Dr. Rick Marks, offers proven principles and skills for caring and mature relationships. Dr. Rick shares personal experiences from growing up in a broken home and how vulnerability led to healing in his own life. The book is a unique perspective packed with faith-based and clinical insights for making a relationship work. Relationships for Life is for anyone who wants to create and maintain healthy relations in every aspect of life. Available as a digital download in hardback and paperback on Amazon and in the web store at drrickmarks.com.
Welcome back to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks. I'm your co-host, Angelia Savage, and we just tackled some questions from our listeners in the last segment, which is always fun. And I thought it was really interesting, though, when you were talking about the corporations, how you go in and help the corporations and make and create a healthy environment. And I know that that must bleed into their relationships at home.
That's actually how I started it many years ago. I was doing a, I helped a couple. He was an executive of a major, major corporation. He was sent to me by a local psychologist. He was an alcoholic, and but he couldn't help him with the marriage part. So I met this executive VP, and I said, if you want my help, you got to do my 3-day intensive or I won't touch it. They did. And I actually, 6 months later, renewed their wedding vows.
Oh,
so I got
wow.
to do that as well, since I'm also a minister. Mm-hmm. And in one of our follow-up sessions, he said to me, you didn't teach me about marriage. And I said, no, what did I teach you about? He said, you taught me about how to relate. I said, exactly. He goes, everything that I learned would apply to the workplace. So it applies anywhere, the relationship skills. They're the fundamentals of how you build healthy, mature relationships, no matter where you are. He said, I want my senior sales staff to have this training. You ever done any corporate work? I said, give me 2 months and I will. So I put a thing together, and that was my foray into it about 16 years ago because I saw it as another avenue to impact families by impacting the workplace.
Yeah. I mean, Relate Well is such a great program that will implement great values and just overall communication and stability in every aspect of your life.
There is a couple of pastors who's called me here locally in the Jacksonville area. They're now incorporating Relate Well as a part of their core curriculum, if you will, for the church, because based on what they witnessed on January 6th at the Capitol, they said, wow, we were looking at Christians talking the way they are talking and acting the way they're acting. And this one pastor said to me, it is immature. I said, yeah. They go, we want everyone in our church trained in Relate Well. And I said, okay. And so I went and trained their staff, and they're now teaching it in their church, and they're now going to spread it. They want everyone from senior high up to have this fundamental knowledge of how to bond and attach and emotionally regulate so they can speak the truth in love, so they can be slow to anger, quick to hear, and slow to speak, so they actually start doing those things rather than just knowing about them.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Okay. All right. Well, now let's move into our next segment, which we want to talk about love.
Yeah.
Just love. We want to talk about being in love or loving someone. Is there a difference in those two?
There is. You hear it a lot as a counselor, as a matter of fact. You know, I might, you know, let's say you and I are married and we're sitting in front of our counselor, and the person might say, well, Rick, you know, do you love Angelia? And I go, well, yeah, but I'm not in love with her.
What's the difference?
Exactly.
What's the difference?
Exactly. And so I want to talk about what we know the difference is between loving someone and being in love. Now, I like knowing that Luella is in love with me, but in the end, I need to know she loves me.
So you need to have both.
Yes.
Okay.
But you may not be in love with someone. I remember the worst 2 years of our marriage was 2004, 2005. I had a lot of healing to do, a father wound in my life. Luella had to look at some things from her background and her life and the way we've been treating each other. So those were not two good years. We weathered them, for sure. Divorce was never going to be an option. And I remember one time we were kind of miles apart emotionally. She came, sat down on me. I was sitting on the bed. She sat down next to me. She put her hand on my knee. And she says, you know, I don't like you. You're not real likable. But I do love you, and we'll make it through. We're a team. Oh, those words.
That definitely meant she wasn't in love with you at that moment, right?
You picked up on it.
Angry with you at that moment.
Because in love is about emotion. It's about feeling. It's the limbic brain. what matters now, I want her to be in love with me. I want her to feel love. I want to feel the love, right? You know, that old song, You Lost That Lovin' Feeling, right?
Yes.
By the Righteous Brothers. That's the idea of being in love. But sometimes we're not going to be in love with each other. What matters is, do you love that person? I had to deal with a couple by Zoom last night. They're from up in Wisconsin. And 5-year marriage, already divorced, separated 3 times in 5 years. And he wants to save it. And she's like, I love him. And I said, is the love that you have enough to want to save it? And she was hesitant for 30 seconds. And I said, well, your hesitancy speaks loud. She says, I just don't have any feelings of love for him. And I said, I can respect that.
She doesn't have any feelings of love.
Love for him.
But she loves him.
She loves him, but I have no feelings. As she said, I have no feelings of love for him.
Okay.
And I said, okay. I said, let me ask you this. The love you have for him, in spite of the lack of feelings. See, I'm addressing the two, right?
Right.
The in love versus love.
Right.
The love that you have for him, even though you don't feel it, is it worth fighting for? And she went, yes. So I had to frame the question so her brain can separate the two parts out. The emotional part from the logic reason part, choice part. And she said, okay, I will think about that. I said, good. So she sets aside, let me know in a few days. So what is the difference here? I got some notes from an article that was written about this at Bride Magazine. You know, loving someone isn't based on emotions. Let's be honest. You know, I love Luella as a decision. All right. I decide to love her, and nothing's going to make me undecide that. Sometimes I don't feel love for her. Sometimes she doesn't feel love for me, but I do love her because I've decided that. So the idea that you, when you love someone, that's a decision you make, and it's not based on a bunch of emotions, right? But being in love, sadly, can fade. You know, you call me bad name enough, I'm probably not going to feel love for you.
Can love fade as well? So being in love with somebody can fade. Can loving someone fade?
That's a great question. I think it can, because I can decide to not love.
Okay.
Right? However, what I have seen working with remarried couples who are in crisis, you'll always hear, well, you know, I still love my ex, but I could not see myself being with them anymore.
I was so glad you said that, actually. You addressed that, because that's funny. I was actually thinking that in my head. I'm thinking, I still love my ex-husband. I'm not in love with him.
Right.
And I don't want to be with him, but I still love him. I mean, he was a part of my life for 8 years.
Yeah, so and the decision to love is there. Mm-hmm. It's just not the love that would want to be living with someone as a life partner anymore. You
mm-hmm.
see?
Right.
And so, you know, did I love my dad? Yeah. Did I feel love from him? No. You know, looking back at him, yeah, I loved him because he was my dad, and I loved him because he took care of me and all that stuff. And I had hopes and dreams, but in the end, he was abusive, and you really couldn't feel love for him a lot because he wasn't the kind of guy you could do that with, you know, and my stepmother in particular. And so being in love can fade because it's really about feelings of love. Now, be honest, I believe feelings of love are important, all right? I don't want to know that Luella loves me. I want to feel the love.
Is one more important than the other?
I think loving someone as a decision is the most important.
That's the most important.
Because
okay.
if you haven't made the decision to love someone, when you lose the feelings of love, I'm out of here.
Okay.
All right? So, but even though I have decided to love you, I still want the feelings. That's the romance side, right? That's the connection, and you feel that. I call that, that's the us. And when us thrives, you both are. You can feel in us or you don't feel enough. So that's me, is the idea of feeling love. So I've always said to Luella, she goes, I love you. I go, are you in love with me? She goes,
oh,
yes.
Oh, that's cute.
I always ask, are you in love with me? Because I want to know if the feelings are there, right?
Right, yeah.
Because when the feelings are there, that gives you a sense that us is present, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm not sure if us is around. I'm like, I go, you feel the love for me? No. Okay, I can sense it myself. Let's talk about it and get those feelings back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the feelings of love give you a sense of security when the feelings go away because something's going on. But the decision to love keeps me in there. Like, I don't think God feels love for us all the time. Sometimes he feels disappointed. But because he is love and he does love, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. But I'm sure I do things at times that make him go, Rick, it's hard to feel love for you sometimes, buddy, because I feel disappointed right now. And that's just normal. That's life, right? And so I think, you know, being in love is still important, all right? Loving someone is more permanent. In feeling in love is temporary because it's based on what's going on out here in the external world. Loving someone is permanent because of a decision that I've made. And so it's permanent to me. Like, if you ask me this day, are you with love today? I can't see myself being without her at the end of my life. I mean, in my head, we're still together. Sadly, research shows people today, when they're marrying, aren't so sure they'll be together down the road. They can't see themselves 20, 30 years ago together. They hope they're together.
They hope.
They hope exactly. They're together.
Yes. They right? can't visualize it, but they hope.
When I got married, 37 years later, I still see us together. You know? I always said, I want to die together. I go, like in a car wreck? No, not like that, you know? Till death do us part, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I see it.
Yeah.
All right? And it'd be hard to see myself dying without her in my life. I can't picture that in my head. That's the decision and permanency of love. You got it?
Wow.
And so that's kind of that right there.
Okay.
You know?
Well, we've got to take a quick break right now. So don't lose that love and feeling. Keep that visualization
You've lost
in
that
your head.
Love and feeling.
We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick.
People are like chameleons. As we change, we must adapt to ensure healthy, balanced relationships. The hallmarks of a healthy relationship are goodwill, respect, humility, and empathy. Relate Well teaches these core skills and gives you practical applications for a healthy, loving, and caring relationship with each other. Whether you're single, dating, or married, taught by Dr. Rick Marks, licensed counselor, clinical fellow, and marriage and family therapist, the Relate Well Core Program features 9 online sessions, including an interactive PDF of the course manual. Millions of people look for the perfect match to share their life through improved and loving connections with the Relate Well Core Program. Call or visit relatewell.us.
Welcome back to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks. I'm your co-host, Angelia Savage, and we've had an interesting time talking about love versus being in love with someone. So we found the difference is there's actually a big difference. And I would just want you to recap the difference again before we go into something a little bit more dramatic, shall we say.
Yeah, and I guess we can confess to our listeners, we were playing the Righteous Brothers song during our break.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
We
just played it
secrets.
During the break. Yeah. Just sitting back, singing near the microphone. You lost that loving feeling.
That's right. And that's exactly right.
We were just reminiscing about the Top Gun show where they kind of used that song in there.
Yeah,
you
the
know?
Old one. I can't wait for the new one, though.
I know.
Oh, right around the corner.
I know. It's going to be a good movie. It's going to be really good movie, I
hope
sure.
So. I'm sure yeah. Tom Cruise has not lost that loving feeling.
Well, you know, when I first saw that, I was still in the Navy, and I actually saw that at Miramar Naval Air Station where they filmed it,
yeah,
which is where the Top Gun school was. So to watch that movie,
how cool.
To watch that movie in the base theater with a bunch of other sailors and squids, I mean, it was a lot of fun. And I tell you what, here's my take on the movie. It was a great movie. They just needed to get rid of the plot. And just leave all the flying.
What?
I just watching that F-14s and oh man.
Oh, that's such a guy.
That
thing.
Was it.
Oh,
was goodness. It is. I admit that up front. Just get rid of the plot. That. Just yeah. Let me have the all the aircraft stuff. So.
Absolutely.
All right. So the idea is that love is permanent because it's a decision. I choose to love you, and because I made that decision, love, I love you. However, in love is about feeling. It's about emotion. And that's not permanent because that's based on what's going on in the relationship, what's going on in the world around you, whether you guys are you know, in harmony or not in harmony, those kind of things. So you can lose the feelings of love, but I still love you as a decision because that's something that I choose for, right? Sadly, culture today believes if you lose the feelings of love, that means I have to divorce. And I go, no, you don't. It just means there's too much hurt and pain sitting on top of the feelings so you can't tap back into them. That's what we do in our intensives. We get all that negative off so you can tap back into the feelings again. And we show people how to do that.
So just to be clear, being in love is a decision and...
Being in love is about emotion.
Okay.
Loving you is a decision. I love you. I've decided that. Being in love with you... is based
feeling.
On what is a feeling. It's emotion.
The feeling back and forth.
Yeah.
So decision and feeling.
Yes.
Okay.
And let's be honest, I want to be in a marriage where we feel the love, right? I call that the idea of us. We can feel the love. But when you lose it, the decision to love, because I've decided to love you, keeps me in there and we can get the feelings back.
Through the hard times.
Yes.
Love will get you through the hard times.
Very much so.
And being in love will get you through all the great times. It creates the great times. Okay, well, so let's move on to the darker side of love. We've talked about all
these
the love
are the things
the feelings,
that keep you from feeling in love.
Yes, exactly. Well said. Okay, so let's transition into that. And we have 10 signs that we want to go over to identify abusive relationships. So the dark side of love.
Yeah. And we're going to talk specifically about emotional abuse.
Okay.
I mean, you know, we think about abuse as purely physical or sexual, but there is what's called emotional abuse. And, you know, let's be honest, you know, I grew up in a home where there was, we were shackled with a cow prod. And my stepmother, in my opinion, and I think my siblings would agree, that my stepmother was emotionally abusive. She'd put us down. She was harsh to us. She was critical to us. Those kind of things. And my father had his issues as well. And so we kind of walked out of there, not just with the physical abuse of the cow prod or, you know, leather belts and stuff when you're little, but we walked out of there emotionally abused, the sense of we're not valued, that we don't matter, those kind of things. And so we want to talk about what are signs of emotional abuse, because the you know, to be honest, these are the things that keep you from feeling love towards another person. If you treat me this way. Now, I want to say it from a Relate Well perspective. You know, we live by four words: goodwill, respect, humility, and empathy. It's the central theme of all that we do and how I live my life. These things, there is no goodwill in this. It is all ill will, and it is disrespectful to do these things, and it's uncaring. All right? So the first thing you want to sign is when someone's trying to control you. All right? One thing that we know that to respect someone never tries to control them. The people have the freedom to be who they want to be, and they have the freedom to think they want to think. They have the right to their feelings. But to try and control someone is disrespectful. It emotionally abuses them because then they're not sure what they can do or can't do. What can I say or not say? Do I have the power to do this? Because to control someone takes their power away from them. Do you see? And that's emotionally abusive. I say this way. God will never control you. He'll let you choose to spend eternity in hell before he'll make you love him. That's how much he won't control you. Well, if he won't control you, why are we controlling people?
Why would anybody else?
Because to control someone is abusive. And there's no love in it. It's disrespectful. And so one of the things that you know our listeners can understand is, hey, you know, if someone's controlling you on a regular basis, that is a form of emotional abuse. Now, another one is just real simple, yelling, screaming, you know, and usually when the yelling and screaming goes along, there's going to be cursing, harsh words. When you're yelling and screaming, let's be honest, you're in that lower animal brain, the fight or the freeze response, and there's no goodwill in it, and it's destructive because yelling basically is to overwhelm someone. It is to attack and put them down. What do you think their emotional brain is doing? Either their emotional brain wants to fight back, which is the fight response, or for many, they start to go into the flight response and start to collapse. And now you're yelling and that person's withdrawing. What are you doing to their emotional self? You see?
Shutting them down.
Very much
so. Completely shutting them down.
But in that, and so doing.
And the same with control. That's shutting them down too.
And when you emotionally abuse someone, what you're really saying is you have no value, you have no worth, you're not good enough. You know, you're inadequate. You have no value and no worth. I mean, those are the messages you send in emotional abuse. Sadly, people begin to believe those things about themselves when they're being emotionally abused because they don't have the strength emotionally to say, no, you're not going to talk to me that way. That's emotional strength.
Or maybe they do, but they just don't want conflict. So they
then that's
just
avoidance.
Adapt.
But that's avoidance.
Oh, avoid.
Or
avoiding.
We call it. That's called appeasing or placating. That's not emotional strength. It is strong when you understand the proverb that says, a fool appears wise when he keeps his mouth shut. What's strong is, you know, I can say to myself, you know, you're acting like a fool, and I'm not going to lower myself to the level of fool, so I'm not going to engage you. Why? Because there's no goodwill in doing this. Mm-hmm. So I'll just stay in my strength and my own power. I'm not going to accept what you're doing, and I'm not going to run from you. But I'm not going to engage you either. Why? There's no goodwill in it.
Just put your ear pods in.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just block it out. I hear nothing. La, 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 la.
Yeah.
I don't hear you yelling at me.
This next one, This next one is actually one of the four predictors of divorce by Gottman's work, and it's contempt. When you show contempt for another person, and now what is contempt? It's when you roll your eyes at someone. It's smugness, it's coldness to them. When you roll your eyes, purse your lips at them. The problem with contempt is contempt says, I am morally superior to you. You are less than me. So contempt is actually different than anger. If you and I are angry at each other, then we actually see each other unconsciously as equals. Contempt isn't. Contempt says, I'm better than you, Angelia. And it is demeaning. And it is a form of emotional abuse. You never, ever, ever demean another person. It's disrespectful. It invalidates their dignity as a human being, you see. And there's some great books written right now around dignity and leadership. That the greatest violations as leaders in the workplace is they violate people's dignity. Every person's a human.
Yeah,
and
I can
deserve
see.
To be treated with
everyone
dignity.
Everyone needs to be treated equally.
Exactly right.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another form is excessive defensiveness. You know, when you constantly feel like you have to defend yourself because you're always being put down. And so you always feel like, oh, no, I'm not that bad. Well, we couldn't, you know, you're being abused. You're being a bit – now, the key is excessive defensiveness, all right? We're all going to get defensive on a level. But if you're constantly defending yourself in a relationship with someone because they're constantly critical and negative, attacking you, and you defend, guess what? Defensiveness is one of the second predictors of divorce.
So let me rewind. So if I feel I'm constantly defending myself in a relationship
– yes.
Okay, so someone keeps accusing me of something and I have to keep defending myself and saying that's not true. Mm-hmm. Why do you keep accusing me? That's being excessively defending on or I'm excessively defending myself. Okay.
Or, you know, when you said that, I hurt you. You hurt me. Well, I didn't mean hurt you. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. You do this all the time. It shows how immature I am. But what I'm actually doing is controlling you. I'm tearing you down at the emotional level and putting you basically off center. So you're having to actually kind of get a sense of stability emotionally. You know, what I learned is something, if I know who I am, my purpose, and I do something wrong, or if I didn't do something wrong, but you took it a certain way, and you go, well, Rick, when you did this, I felt this. I go, so when I did this, you felt that? I go, hey, forgive me. What? Forgive me. If that sent you that message, I would never want to send you that message. And just forgive me. Well, I think you're wrong. Well, I just admitted that. Well, you should do better. Well, I agree. I would never want to send you that message. You ain't gonna dictate how I am emotionally. I know who I am.
Ooh, wish I had known this in another relationship in a past day.
I know who I am.
I'm having flashbacks right now, being defensive.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, it was day in, day out.
I'll own what I have to do. But if you want to keep sulking and be in not forgive and let it go, that's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I'm going to stick around and keep. Oh, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. That says a lot more about me. I don't want to live that way. Right?
Yeah.
Another sign of emotional abuse is threats. Listen. When you start threatening someone, you're crossing a line, all right? And the threats could be not just about physical hurt. It could be, if you don't do this, I'm going to walk out of your life. I'm going to divorce you. I'm going to take the kids from you. You know, that's a form of emotional abuse. Stonewalling is just stone cold silence. Just stone cold silence.
So that could be equally as bad as yelling.
Very much so.
Okay.
Because silence, people think people who are silent are actually powerless. You're actually very powerful because the person is now trying to pull you, engage you, and get you to engage them. And silence is a very powerful position to be in. As a matter of fact, three things I've already mentioned are the predictors for divorce based on Gottman's research. And those are defensiveness, criticism, stonewalling. All three of those predict divorce. But they're all traits of emotionally abusive people, which I think is fascinating, right?
And do all of these go hand in hand? Do they have all of these traits or when someone's emotionally abusive, do they encompass, you know, half of these or all of these or one of these or how do you?
I think you'll see a beef stew, if you will, All right.
A beef stew.
You'll see a beef stew.
You must be hungry. It's dinner time. you're thinking beef stew.
Yeah, well, I think it's kind of like, you know, you've got this, but I think they kind of blend together.
Okay.
And there's just this melding of them. When you can see the potato and you can see the carrot and you can see the beef, right? The different traits. Mm-hmm. But they also tend to merge into one and flow. So I may be yelling and screaming, and then I know I'm gaslighting you. And the next time I'm creating defensiveness in you, right? And all of that is just this beef stew of way of being.
And do they know what they're doing whenever they're in that frame of mind? Do most people know they're doing this, that they're actually emotionally abusing you?
That's a great question. My first gut reaction is I think most people know it on some level.
They do.
They just don't care.
Oh.
All right.
That hurts.
I do believe, yeah.
Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah. I do believe that there are some people who are so mature they don't know they're doing because they don't have self-awareness.
Sure. Okay.
You know.
All right. Well, we've got to take a quick break.
All right.
But I do want to address, we've got a date night coming up on March 3rd at Aladdin Grill. March, did I say 3rd or 23rd?
23rd.
23rd.
Okay. March 23rd,
like, did I say
Tuesday
the 3rd
night.
For some reason. Yeah. So March 23rd on a Tuesday night from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And tell everybody about what they're going to experience at Aladdin Grill.
Okay. So we do a date night. We call it Relate Well Date Night with Dr. Rick and Luella. So my wife is there, and couples come, be it dating or married. We come, you order off the menu, and you'll meet Paravesh, and she's Persian, and Salam, he's from Iraq. Phenomenal cooks. It is some of the best Middle Eastern food you will eat, I promise you. And they are pro-family, pro-marriage, Christians, as a matter of fact, as well. And they give their place over to us, section of it, and we have a date night. You come, we have things for you to do as a couple, you meet other couples, and we'll have a speaker, and the one coming up will be Pastor Matthew from a local church here who also has a counseling degree, does a lot of work on strong, healthy marriages and relationships, so I've asked him to come be our speaker this next one. He'll speak for about 15, 20 minutes max. We'll be starting at 6:30, out by 8, and we just enrich each other, inspire each other, and just have a time of fellowship and fun, and hopefully when you walk out of there, a new appreciation for your usness.
Yeah. Stronger relationships, stronger communication, and lots of new friends and great food at
the same time. Yeah. Try the shawarma.
All right. All right. Well, now I'm hungry. All right. Well, we'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks.
Healthy, loving relationships are essential for a happy life. On Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks and co-host Angelia Savage, you'll learn the principles for healthy, mature relationships. They share personal journeys, biblical and clinical insights that will challenge and inspire you to create fulfilling relationships in every aspect of life. Sundays at 5 p.m. on 97.1 The Truth and ilovethetruth.com. When we relate well, we will live well. And to live well, we must relate well.
Welcome back to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks. I'm Angelia Savage, your co-host today, and we've got some information that I think everybody needs to hear. We've talked about love. We've talked about when you're in love and loving someone, feeling the love with someone earlier in the show. And then we talked about the darker side of love and defining abusive relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gone into some of the 10 signs, but I want to continue those signs, because we've talked about quite a few already. We had control and yelling and contempt and excessive defensiveness, and we had, I think, threats, and stonewalling is where we stopped. So now I want to go into blame, blame game of love.
So I just had this funny thought. I'm not going to answer you and just sit silent and stonewall you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you would look at me like, what are you doing? Yeah. You got stonewalling.
Gonna make me angry. You better talk.
So, all right. So, blame is the next one, and the idea behind blaming is that it's a form of emotional abuse because the other person will never take responsibility for anything, and whatever they do is because you made me do that. Well, I would have done this had you not done that. Well, I said that because of you, and it's always a sense of you're at fault. You're at fault. You're at fault, and the abuser never takes responsibility for anything. But the one who's being abused starts to own their thoughts. Well, maybe if I'd been better, maybe I should have done that way. They lose a sense of self because they're always accepting the blame. You got to know what's you and what's not you. And really, the best way to deal with any form of emotional abuse is called boundaries. I mean, let's a little further at what we're talking about today. Next is gaslighting, and this is a form of psychological manipulation. If you don't mind, can we come back to that one?
Sure. Yeah, right. We'll circle back.
Because that's a kind of a newer phrase we're hearing a lot about, and you see it, you know, I hang out in some
chat room
feeds, yeah, or like on Twitter among advocates against the sexual abuse of leaders in the church. And what you're seeing a lot of times are leaders who are gaslighting victims of sexual abuse in their tweets, whatever. Maybe there's a twit who's tweeting.
Tweets.
Yeah, you're a twit,
yes,
who's tweeting or whatever.
Right, yeah,
yeah,
sometimes, true.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible.
And so it's interesting because it's a fairly new term in the mental health field. And a lot of people are like, what does that mean? All right, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay, let's circle back. Yeah. So let's move on to isolation then.
And isolation here is basically when the relationship is isolating you. I remember a couple that I had come to see me. He basically, when they started dating, over time, she could not see her family. She could not see her friends. He began to isolate that person, and basically the only person she could connect to is him. And he isolated her from all these other people in her lives. In other words, to the point where he was the only one she could relate to. That's emotional abuse.
I can relate to that.
You can.
I can definitely relate to that, yes.
And when you allow yourself someone to control all your abundance of relationships, that person is being emotionally abusive.
Well, I can speak from the other side of that isolation factor. Mm-hmm. And whenever you are getting that, you think that he loves you, or your spouse who loves you. So that's why they want to be with you all the time. And they don't want anyone else to have your attention. So I flipped it into, he loves me. That's why he's isolating me. That's why he doesn't want anyone else around. That's why he's telling me my friends are not great. That's why he's isolating me from my family, because he doesn't want me to go away. He wants me around all the time.
And that made you feel good? Made you feel loved?
It made me feel loved by him, but it didn't make me flourish in my life.
Yeah.
As we talked about flourishing in the past, and you don't thrive in your own existence. So therefore, I felt smothered, and I didn't feel like I was thriving in my own life. I felt like my existence became his existence. I was there strictly for him.
Yeah, I had a young lady came into my life in 1999, 19 years old. I was a minister at a church, and she came into my life, and I realized this kid doesn't need counseling. She needs like a father or someone. And so all these years, 21 years later, she's like a second daughter to me. And she married an abusive guy in her first marriage. And then she's dating a guy who she worked for. And we were having lunch. And I was listening to her, and I'm like, this guy's an abuser. You need to get away from him. She wouldn't listen to me. The next thing I know, she won't talk to me for a year and a half.
Because he isolated you, probably.
I thought I did something.
Yeah, he isolated her.
Well, it turns out that after that lunch, she went back to work and told him what I said. And he forbid her from talking to me. He also had to be present when she talked to her parents. He controlled everything. And a year and a half later, I get a text from her. She had not come in a year and a half. And she has bruises all over her body where he beat her. And that was when she reconnected to me. And I looked at her like, I warned you. I didn't want to say I told you, Sam. But you can smell these
when you're
abusers.
In it, though, you don't clearly see it.
Yes, which also goes to show the power of being abused and your inability to think clearly, because
love is blind.
It is, isn't
it? Love is blind. Everyone else could see it except for me.
Gives power to that old phrase, you fell in love and lost your mind.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there's so many people out there that are in emotionally abusive relationships.
Yeah.
So I'm sure some people right now are going, light bulb moment, these are things that are happening in my life. And these are things that you really need to pay attention to.
Yeah. Craig Nock in his book on the addictive personality indicates that all humans have to have relationships in four areas: with God, self, family, friends, and a community. And you have to thrive in all four areas. These people isolate you into one, and it's usually with them. And you lose the other three. and thus you won't thrive. Okay. And so the last of the trait we want to cover is volatility. And this is when you're not sure if the person is going to fly off the handle. And when they do, so you're always living, you know, the idea is you walk on eggshells all the time.
Yes.
You know, if I do this, will they explode? Will they yell and scream? And so when you live in a high anxiety situation, it's affecting your brain. Your brain is constantly leaking adrenaline. You're not meant to live with adrenaline constantly flowing. All right? It'll destroy other parts of your body.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Gain weight. Cortisol levels are off the charts. That happens.
That's what PTSD is.
Yeah.
You see? We understand that in a combat zone.
Constant fight or flight syndrome.
It comes from the amygdala. It's a constant war zone. Relationships aren't meant to be that way. Right? I always love Medea, you know? One of my greatest teachers to watch is Medea. You know, but Medea always said, you know, if you're in a place, she says, two places you're going to have peace in your life, your home and your grave. And she said, if you can't have peace in your home, she says, there's something wrong. And if that person's in there and they don't bring peace,
get out.
Then she said, get out.
Get out. Or you will be in your grave. You will be in your grave with peace.
And so, Tyler Perry is one of the greatest teachers on relationships.
Yeah.
But particularly through his plays, more so than the movies, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's great.
But Medea is really...
Bring some comedy into this abusive
exactly.
relationship. I like it. But whatever it takes to make you see clearly.
Yes.
You know, whatever it takes to make you see exactly what's going on. Because like I said, when you're in it, you don't see it.
I know.
Everyone around you sees it very clearly, but...
Yeah.
Love is blind.
It is.
So get peace in your relationship.
Yeah. Now let's go back to this thing called gaslighting.
Okay.
Because this term is, it's a manipulative tactic. I wrote here, it's a manipulative tactic used to shift the power dynamic in a healthy relationship so that one person has complete control of another. The actual definition here is by a guy named Dr. Bergen, Jeremy Bergen. He says that gaslighting is a form of sustained psychological manipulation that causes the victim to question, listen, this is important, to question or doubt his or her sanity, their judgment, and their memories.
Wow.
And their memories. That ain't how I remember it. Well, that's the way it was. Well, I don't remember it that way. Well, just because you don't know. And now you start to doubt yourself, you know? And so what are some signs of being gaslighted? Number one, that person is making you question your perception of reality. In other words, no matter what you think or remember, you're wrong. And you start to question your own sense of reality. Well, am I wrong? Did I get it right? Well, they said this. Well, could have been that way. That's gaslighting. You're always off guard. You don't know what reality is anymore because you're starting to lose a sense of reality because you keep questioning your reality, right?
And so you start to believe what they are saying is true?
You don't believe what they're saying. You start to question your reality based on what they're saying.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, well, I know you said that. No, I didn't. I didn't say that. Yes, you did. No, I didn't.
And then you're like, did I say that? Did you?
That's what you heard.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's just what you heard.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I said. Oh, I know what you said. No, that's what you heard. And now you start to question, well, maybe I didn't hear it right. Maybe they're right. That's gaslighting.
And does this not happen in every relationship? This is not normal?
Gaslighting is a pervasive form of this. It's a psychological manipulation. Some people, you know, Luella and I did that. It's not gaslighting because we're trying to figure something out.
It's your perception.
But
versus
if I constantly do that in order to manipulate her psychologically so she loses a sense of her sanity, so to the point she doesn't know it's real anymore, that's gaslighting. Second thing is they persistently and blatantly lie to you. All right. Bergen says it this way. He said their lies are designed to be manipulative for control. All right. And so you can ask this question: does my partner consistently make me question my thoughts and experience of things? Do I catch them in lies? And so another form here is when you're constantly being lied to. He's like, well, are they telling the truth? Aren't they telling the truth? But I know what I saw. I know what you said. I didn't say that. And he's like, yeah, you did. No, that's not what I... You're lying to me. I'm not lying to you. That's just the way you see it. I had someone say to me in my office, talking about his wife, I said, could this be your wife's perspective? And to any degree, would your wife's perspective be right? He said, well, it's her perspective. I said, yeah. Could her perspective be right? No, it's just her perspective. But could her perspective be right? No, I'm right. Her perspective is wrong. And that's how he treats her. That's a form of gaslighting.
Oh my goodness.
He's also a sex addict. Who's an addictive personality, who's not in control of himself. You see, it's another form of it.
This is a form of crazy. This is when everybody calls everyone crazy because gaslighting makes you think you're crazy.
Yes.
That's exactly what's going on.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I hate that we have to end the show. Can we continue this next week?
We can.
Let's do that.
I do a lot more about it.
Let's do that. So next week, let's continue the abusive relationships and how to get out of them and when you leave one. And let's get into that next time.
So, sounds good.
Okay, because right now we've got to close. And if you'd like to learn to lead a life through the four protectors of all of your relationships and learn how to develop the tools that create us in your marriage, us in your family, or even us in the workplace, then register for the online Relate Well Core Program. You can register for Relate Well as a single or couples, and all you have to do is register online today at relatewell.us. If you're looking for private relationship counseling or life coaching directly from Dr. Rick, then call 904-724-8683. That's 904-724-8683. Well, this has been another informative show from Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks to help you live the best life. And remember, until next week, relate well to live well.
We want to invite you to visit relatewell.us. Whether you're single or a couple, come learn what a healthy relationship looks like and then put it into practice. For relationship counseling, contact Dr. Rick at relatewell.us.